time for overtime.
Stop what you're doing and listen.
In the world of sports, it's all about the playmakers in today's headlines, from locals to the pros, with interviews from local standouts and sports all-stars across the country that will have you talking.
3-2 pitch. Fastball belted, deep right. Long gone.
Hear from coaches to players, sports analysts, and broadcasters who are a part of the action every day. Overtime, now with Burt Ramin on ESPN 102.3 AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
It's overtime on a Friday, and it's time for the High Noon Showdown. I just need callers. I need winners. 605-362-3776. Got a big prize pack for you, including some Catfish Bay vouchers, ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt, gift certificate to the dive, and so much more. You never know what kind of goodies I can put into the envelope here at ESPN Sioux Falls, but you got to beat up your neighbor. I got one taker looking for another. 605-362-3776, the number to dial. 605-362-3776. You're on with Overtime. What's your name?
Charger Josh.
Charger Josh. Hey, man. You got to win. So you want a punching bag. Josh is the guy to punch. You might have a good shot at beating Josh here on the High Noon Showdown. Josh, appreciate the call, buddy. You want your questions from List A or List B today. What do you think?
Let's go A, buddy.
A. You're an A-plus to me, my friend. Josh on List A. He'll be up to bat here first. If you want to take on Josh and win a prize pack or have a shot at winning a prize pack, 605-362-3776 is that number to dial. Waiting on a caller number two in today's edition of the High Noon Showdown, 605-362-3776. Still to come on today's show, we talk NFL, we talk Bears. Yes, I know we have to talk about the Chicago Bears, the Chicago Bear players with the most at stake coming up this season, college football chatter, Major League Baseball talk, and latest there, as well as the good, the bad, and the ugly. I got Charger Josh on line one. I'm still waiting for somebody to enter the ring. 605-362-3776. I got a $25 gift certificate to the dive, an ESPN Sioux Falls t-shirt, Catfish Bay Water Park tickets, and so much more. 605-362-3776. Josh, I think they're scared of you, buddy. If they don't call in, I'm going to get you the big beefy prize pack for yourself, man. What do you think?
I think anyone should call because they should know that they'll win.
Yeah,
and come on, man. ESPN Radio. I give away everything I win. I love you guys. Long-term listener, over 10 years. Bert, you're the best. I've been with you through the tough times, the good times. And, brother, you put on a heck of a show.
Yeah,
and you know what?
That.
I'm a little disappointed right now.
I am too, man. I mean, I guess if it was me, people would say I would love to take a swing at Bert, but maybe because you're such a nice guy, everybody's scared of that. 605-362-3776. We're still waiting, Josh. I think we might just talk here about your Chargers instead, man. How you feeling about them? What's the ceiling look like? Because you got a pretty good ball club on the way.
Right, but listen to ESPN Radio, of course, my favorite show, 102.3, but on the national air. Like, I've been getting beat down left and right. I've called into a couple other shows because you know me. But, brother, I think we got something with McMichaels. I think we got a little spark. I am a pessimist because I'm a Charger fan, and I love to be beat down, of course. But I'm thinking maybe we can make it.
Yeah. I think he can,
too. First round of the playoffs?
I think he can, too, man. You got a good, good head coach. You got a good assistant coach now, too. I got a couple callers that want to beat you up now, though, Josh. Let me get to them.
All right.
Put you on hold. Over to line number two we go. You're on with Overtime. Our contestant to potentially beat Josh is who? What's your name?
My name's Chris.
Hey, I appreciate it. You say Lance with an L. Is that correct?
Oh, that's Chris with a C.
Oh, Chris. I thought you said Lance. Check my hearing here. Chris, you're on letter B. Let's get you linked up with Josh here. I think I may have dropped Josh off of the line. So I've got Chris on hold. Josh, give me a call back. Hold on a second. Josh, is this you?
Yeah, that's me.
I'm still figuring it out how to host a radio show and all that. Back on hold he goes. We conference them together. We got Chris. We got Josh. It is time for this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown on Overtime.
You want a piece of me?
I want a piece of you.
I want the whole thing.
Can you feel the tension in the air right now? I know I can.
Doesn't have to be a fight in a parking lot, although we
love to see that, actually. It's time to duke it out in this week's edition of the High Noon Showdown.
All right, the High Noon Showdown. Josh and Chris locking horns. Josh, you're up to bat first, my friend. I don't think I've ever heard you talk about football as in soccer, but you got to know this. There's two absurdly generationally talented dudes in the World Cup field. At least one of them is still in it. But you got the guy that ousted not too long ago, Cristiano Ronaldo. What jersey number is largely associated with Cristiano Ronaldo? Josh, what do you think?
Oof. Okay. See, if you would have said Messi, I would have had it. But I'm going to go 9.
9. Pretty close. No cigar. He wears number 7. Chris, your question. Lionel Messi, what's the jersey number for Messi of Argentina?
I believe he's number 10.
Number 10. Ding, ding, ding. He shares a jersey number with future Packer Hall of Fame quarterback Jordan Love. Fun trivia fact there. Chris, over to a college. Identify the college for potential Viking starter, potential Viking backup quarterback J.J. McCarthy. Where did he go to college?
I believe he's a Michigan man.
He is a Michigan man, much to the chagrin of many. Josh, how about Kyler Murray? He won the Heisman in college as a member of what program?
Okay, I know this, but Chris, God bless you. He went to Texas Tech.
He did not go to Texas Tech. He started at A&M and he finished at Oklahoma. Oh, Chris, I got to tell you, man. Chris, Josh is the greatest guy. You're the greatest winner today, though, my friend. Chris, our winner of the High Noon Showdown. Chris, I will get your info in a moment. You can dial me up during a break. Just need a last name from you, and we'll get rolling into a prize pack with your name on it. Josh, Chris, job well done. That is the High Noon Showdown. By the way, we didn't even need to get into the toughest questions today, but I like to deliver them because I work hard on these things, and I want you to feel that little boost and a bump of, yes, I know my stuff. How about these questions the rest of the way? North Dakota State, the Bison, have joined the Mountain West Conference. Name me two other Mountain West schools without getting one wrong. I'll give you a second. Get your two schools. Give you a second. Mountain West Conference is currently constructed. You can't say NDSU. Give me two other schools that still play in the Mountain West. They had a lot of turnover, but here they are. Air Force, Hawaii, Nevada, New Mexico, Northern Illinois is now in the Mountain West. San Jose State, UNLV, UTEP, and the Wyoming Cowboys. That's the Mountain West. On the other side, Sacramento State. Makes no sense at all. Desperate program, desperate measures. They're paying people to play them, paying for their travel expenses, but they're joining the MAC. You can tell I'm a hater of the Hornets. They're joining the MAC. Name me three other MAC schools. And I just told you Northern Illinois is not in the MAC anymore. So get your MAC schools ready. Here they are. Akron, Ball State, Bowling Green, Buffalo, CMU, EMU, WMU, that's Central, East, and Western Michigan, for those of you scoring at home. Kent State, also in Ohio. Miami of Ohio, also in Ohio. Ohio is in Ohio. And UMass, and lastly, Toledo, which also, last time I checked, also in Ohio. It should be the Ohio Conference, but it is the Mid-America Conference and the MAC. There you go. High Noon Showdown questions in the bag. Still to come on today's show, headlines and highlights, latest in the NFL. We're talking about the Chicago Bears today. How great they are. Their coach is amazing. Takes his shirt off and screams obscenities in the locker room. I'm tired of them. They are who we thought they were, and we let them off the hook. I can't wait to beat down the Bears this fall, but we will be talking about the Bears glowingly here in hour number two. Most at stake this year, college football, Major League Baseball, and of course the good, the bad, the ugly before we're done here on a Friday. Major League Baseball scorecard. We had a standalone game to officially begin the second half of the Major League Baseball season last night. Mets over the Phillies, that final 4-1. Today and tonight, we'll see the Pirates take on the Guardians at 6:10 to lead us off. White Sox at Blue Jays, Marlins at Brewers, Twins visiting the Cubs, 6:30 pregame, 7:05 start right here on the Treasure Island Baseball Network. Also still to come, Padres at Royals, Reds at Rockies, Tigers at Angels, Cardinals at D-backs, rest of the way in Major League Baseball. In the WNBA, Portland beat Washington last night, 75-56. Tonight, we'll see the Fever at home in action against the Storm at 6:30. And on to the NBA. It's no doubt LeBron James is a, I don't know, debatable character, debatable person, debatable best of all time NBA player. But Evan Cohen says this week and yesterday in particular, a big reminder of why people might not love LeBron James.
This is a reminder of, I think, all of the people that don't like LeBron, why they don't like LeBron. Because when we're sitting here, we're saying, what is he waiting for? The only thing that people can come up with is attention. No team has made a move during this time of from the moment that he said goodbye to the Lakers till now. Correct me if I'm wrong. No team of the candidate pool has made a move that would sway his opinion.
That's LeBron James. That's the waiting game. And that's the reason that some people feel reinforced this week saying, see, he's obnoxious, all about himself. Most stars are. Look at Aaron Rodgers. Look at a zillion other athletes out there. Might be a little self-centered. Might hope that everything eventually ends up talking about them. And that might be what we're waiting for here. And LeBron's not the only one waiting. The teams aren't the only one waiting. The entire league is waiting, including Commissioner Adam Silver.
Out of nowhere yesterday, I honestly did not think that this was a real quote because of who it came from and who it was about. But I'm paraphrasing. Adam Silver, the commissioner of the NBA, said, I would like him to make a decision already so we can finish this schedule. Because as you can imagine, teams are calling us, networks are calling us, and everybody wants to lock in the schedule. Opening week, opening night, Christmas Day games. Mm-hmm. All of that makes a ton of sense. Adam Silver is the most player-friendly commissioner in the history of sports. I'm stunned that the one player he's now called out is the meal ticket for the last 20 years.
That's Evan Cohen on LeBron James. We played it for you in hour number one. Q Myers reinforcing the fact he thinks that the Cleveland Cavaliers make the most sense for LeBron's immediate future. In the NFL, we're less than a month away, frankly about 2.5 weeks away, from the Hall of Fame game to officially start the year. It's the Panthers and Cardinals, 7 o'clock from Canton on NBC. Dan Graziano talking about the impact of where players are drafted. I would argue where they're drafted to might make even more of an impact. But here's Graziano talking about circumstance and when players are drafted impacting their careers.
I mean, I think you get more chances, you get more benefit of the doubt if you're picked higher. A lot of the talent evaluators around the draft like to be right and hate to be wrong. You revert to what your previously held opinion was, because I think as human beings, we're sort of wired to want affirmation in that regard. So I think there's plenty of evidence to support it. The way you come into the league sticks with you.
Also, where you go in the league sticks with you. I think it matters a ton when you're talking about, okay, the Raiders need a quarterback. They have no other talent on the roster. Come in, be our starting quarterback with no protection, no weapons, no running game. Wish you all the best. Oh, look at that guy. Look at how dumb he looks. He's such a bust. He didn't have it. I knew it all along. That's not the case a lot of times. What happens is organizations fail quarterbacks. We heard that from Kevin O'Connell. Great quote just last year. I think organizations fail young quarterbacks way more often than young quarterbacks fail organizations. I have a lot of backup in that, not just quarterbacks, but every position. We talk about what it pays to plan ahead, draft players in positions when you don't necessarily need them to be a star and a stud and a starter and a Pro Bowler. Maybe you just have them on the shelf, have them learn for a bit. That's worked out in several scenarios in the NFL, not just quarterbacks, but a lot of different positions out there. A lot goes into progression as a player, as a person, and sometimes, as we've seen numerous times over, it might just not work out in a certain place, certain coach, certain time for NFL players. You bloom where you're planted, not always the case in the National Football League. Sometimes a little different soil, a little different angle of the sun makes a lot of difference as well. Let's talk some college football here. Oh, quickly, let's talk about those Cincinnati Bengals. I got one more clip for you this morning from Get Up on ESPN. Harry Douglas talking about the Bengals and why he's buying in.
Here's what they're hoping. They have massive upgrades along their defensive line. And what we've known throughout history of the National Football League, when you have a really good defensive line, they make up for the deficiency in your secondary. That's what they're banking on. They have a ton of draft picks that they thought they were going to hit on. Those guys have not panned out. They have not developed as players. But they brought in some guys along that defensive line. Dexter Lawrence, he's a pretty good damn player. Mm-hmm. Bouye Mafe, who won a Super Bowl last year with the Seattle Seahawks. So they are going to be better. It's all about, in my my opinion, can Joe Burrow stay healthy for 17 games and lead them to a playoff
berth? You know, it's been a mixed bag in Cincinnati for a long time. I am a Joe Burrow super fan. Love the dude. Love the dude since his time in college. His Heisman speech still lives rent-free in my head. Love what he's about that night. Loves what he's been about so far in his NFL career. Went to the Super Bowl in year number two of his career. And since that time, it's been largely a disappointment, not necessarily him and his play, but the career of, man, how great is he? Second year Super Bowl after he got beat up and beat to hell as a rookie in Cincinnati for them to climb all the way up. Man, the sky's the limit for this kid. Since that time, though, it's been anything but amazing for Cincinnati. They bowed out against the Kansas City Chiefs, the know your role and shut your mouth commentary from Travis Kelce. And then, of course, since that time, it's been Burrow with a wrist injury, Burrow with a different injury here and there. Deficiencies defensively have popped up a ton. Back when they went to the Super Bowl, they had a really darn good young defense, and they carried that for a 2-3 year stretch, but it's been really bad lately. Trey Hendrickson had been the guy to anchor that Cincinnati Bengal defense, and they alienated him over and over and over, and now he's out of town as a free agent. He's a member of the Baltimore Ravens, much to the chagrin of Max Crosby and everybody in the league that happened. But Cincinnati adds in all these pieces on defense, and color me pessimistic about this squad. I want to be optimistic. I want to buy in, because the fact is their division is up for grabs, because Pittsburgh is who they are. Aaron Rodgers is who he is. They're going to win 9, 10, or 11 games this year. I think 8 would surprise. I think 12 would surprise. I think it's 9, 10, or 11 for Pittsburgh. Now, the Baltimore Ravens are one of the Super Bowl favorites despite a coaching change and some turmoil and some roster defections here and there. Baltimore's still a well-thought-of group, but you're telling me that Cincy can't compete with them? I think you're out of line. I think Cincy can, but a lot comes down to Burrow being healthy. How does this team start? Can they avoid a 1-4, 2-5 start like we've seen so commonly over the last 2, 3, 4 years under Zach Taylor, who apparently is immune to the hot seat, the old Bunsen burner, if you will? Zach Taylor's been on the hot seat for 2, 3 years now, and every offseason we like to say in media, he's number 1A. If he doesn't get it done this year with Joe Burrow and T. Higgins and Ja'Marr Chase and the defense, you know, I don't think he's going to get it done at all. We say that every year, and Zach Taylor remains. Joe Burrow remains. He's still got his favorite prize possession toys to throw the football to, and Jason Higgins and others. I like this team. I just don't love this team, and I don't trust this team right now in Cincinnati. Elsewhere on the scorecard, NASCAR race is coming up at North Wilkesboro on Sunday. The Open Championship continues today. Still a lot of golfers just getting into the back nine of their rounds, but worth noting there were two golfers today that carded a 62. Australian native Lucas Herbert is your leader in the clubhouse right now at 8 under. Cameron Young, Jackson Suber at 6 under. And then you got the other 62 shooter today, Sam Burns. He was 3 over after the first round. And he was 8 under, 62 today, to place him in a fourth place spot right now. Sam Burns, 5 under par. If you're keeping score at home, you know Bryson DeChambeau's near the top of the leaderboard at 4 under. And we're also keeping an eye as well on Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy. He's tied for 39th at 1 under. And then you look at Scottie Scheffler. He is now 3 under through 10 today at the Open. Lastly, FIFA World Cup third place game looms on Saturday afternoon. France and England, the final. Spain and Argentina, 2 o'clock on Fox. Jonathan Bornstein keeps it simple with the game plan and what needs to happen for Argentina to lift the cup this year.
It is vital that these other players step up, right? Although he is probably the best player in the world, and, you know, this is a team sport, and it takes other guys' abilities to be able to impact the game and make a stamp along with him. We have seen these players, Enzo Fernandez, Martinez, as well, have great performances and score late goals in conjunction with Messi getting assists and scoring. So I do think they have a very strong attack, players who can come off the bench and make an impact. And it makes for a very exciting final for all of us.
That is Jonathan Bornstein talking about Argentina. Very exciting final on the way. Spain is favored on Sunday, 2 o'clock from on Fox. Spain favored -160 on the money line. Let's dive into your ReliaBank headlines of the day. It's hour number 2. The University of Texas, El Paso, better known as UTEP, and Northern Kentucky will help tip off the upcoming college basketball season right here in Sioux Falls on Monday, November 2nd. The matchup between the Miners and Norse will be part of the Field of 68 opening day marathon, which returns to Sioux Falls for a third straight season. The game joins the previously scheduled matchup of Murray State and Tennessee State, also part of the November 2nd festivities. UTEP, one of the newest members of the Mountain West, Northern Kentucky, been pretty darn good in the Horizon League for years. Under head coach Darren Horn, you can view that whole release and start to plan about your attendance to the Field of 68 opening day marathon at the Sanford Pentagon. That article up at ESPNSiouxFalls.com. Well, Hawkeye fans, Cyclone fans, take note. The Iowa-Iowa State rivalry football game scheduled for September 12th in Iowa City is officially sold out. The announcement made Thursday by the University of Iowa Athletics Department. Single game tickets went on sale to donors on Monday. General public tickets went on sale Thursday morning. And by Friday morning, they are sold out. There you go. Iowa has sold out 28 consecutive games inside Kinnick Stadium. No doubt that one would be a quick one to go. Iowa, Iowa State, secondary market still ripping and roaring, I'm sure, but the primary market sold out for the matchup, Cy-Hawk matchup between Iowa and Iowa State coming up for early September, the 12th this year in Iowa City. And lastly on your Reliabank headlines of the day, let's talk about Giannis Antetokounmpo. It's been a LeBron James stealing of the show lately, but the new Miami Heat star walked through the hallways of his new home at the Kaseya Center and looked at the portraits of many Miami Heat greats, from LeBron James to Dwayne Wade, Shaquille O'Neal, and Alonzo Mourning. Championship history only fueled Giannis's hunger to win his second in his career. Giannis was announced by the Heat just yesterday as he was sitting under the franchise's three championship banners that hang in the rafters. Miami's newest superstar made it clear what his motivation level is upon his arrival. It's like at 1,000,000% right now. You walk through the hallways and you see the history. You see the players that have been a part of this organization and the things they've done. I want to make all the moves they've made worth it. It's a place I feel like brings pressure, and I thrive under pressure. Brings out the best in me. I'm excited to be coached by Coach Spo. Excited to be around the city. Understand the fans are very passionate, but right now I'm hungry to win. I want to win, and I will do whatever it takes for me to do so. Nice commentary from Giannis, very similar to every other opening press conference commentary, but still got to be excited for the next chapter of Giannis Antetokounmpo's career there in South Beach. Those are your Reliabank headlines of the day for hour number two. As always, for a better local banking option for you and yours, check them out in person or online in the 605 Reliabank. When we come back, NFL talk, we're talking about the Chicago Bears. How good are they going to be? How good should you feel about your Bears? And what players are in a make-or-break scenario this offseason into the season in Chicago? Courtney Cronin, great write-up at ESPN.com. We break that down and more coming up next.
Don't miss a moment of local college and pro sports action. Stay connected and download the app for Overtime on ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO.
Time for your dedicated football talk segment of the day. Friday, 12:30, half hour left in the week and the day of the show. We are going to be off next week. I am needed elsewhere here at Results Radio, so we will be off next week on the show. We will miss you, but stay tuned. You'll have the very pleasant show and company of the Rich Eisen Show here on ESPN Sioux Falls next week. We'll be off next week, back on the saddle on the following Tuesday. Again, needed elsewhere here at Results Radio. We will miss you, but certainly still hard at work around the halls here at Results Radio. Let's talk college football here first. Virginia Tech, not being talked about enough. And when they're good in Blacksburg, college football's better. Virginia Tech made the first significant hire of the coaching cycle this offseason by linking up with James Franklin, recently departed Penn State head coach. They overhauled their financial model and made roster and recruiting upgrades ahead of the upcoming season. The time has come to return to the field. I think we won the offseason, James Franklin said yesterday at the ACC kickoff. We've done the right things. There's a lot of excitement. There's a lot of momentum right now. And this is the kind of that. This is kind of the end of that, right? All these different things, whether the meet and greets in Richmond, 7-on-7, whether it's recruiting, transfer portal, spring ball, spring game. Those are all opportunities to build and create momentum. After this, we're getting to the stuff that matters most, practice and winning games and having the stadium rocking. Franklin fired abruptly in October, midway through his 12th year at Penn State, was hired at Virginia Tech only 36 days later. To much fanfare, Hokies since 2018 haven't had a lot of fanfare on the football field, 44-55 since 2018. That ranks 97th nationally in win percentage. You hearken back to the days, early 2000s, Michael Vick, Marcus Vick, etc., all the stars that have come through that program, Tyrod Taylor and so many more. Very proud program. Classy unis, amazing stadium. Enter Sandman. You gotta love Hokie football. Hopefully back on the map a little bit more coming up in 2026. Speaking of being on the map, how about the New Mexico Lobos? Why are we talking about the Lobos? Because they got some South Dakotans and people with South Dakota ties on their roster. Jaxton Eck, a linebacker and the pick for the Mountain West Defensive Player of the Year, was a Brookings High School alum. That's pretty darn cool. His dad, Jason Eck, spent 6 years in Brookings as the offensive line coach and offensive coordinator towards the end of his tenure under Coach Stig. He went on to coach head coach at Idaho. Really successful there, 26 wins against 13 losses over 3 years. And now as New Mexico and Lobo football rocking and cooking, and I'm following along. Hope you are. You should be moving forward. Jaxton Eck is the defensive player of the year preseason for the conference. Last year, the Brookings, South Dakota native had 6.5 tackles for loss, 1.5 sacks, 2 pass breakups, 1 forced fumble, and a fumble recovery to go along with 129 tackles. Eck is New Mexico's first Mountain West preseason defensive player of the year all time. Now, there's other names on that list. I'm not going to go through it because I know there's not a lot of appetite for Bison football here, especially after they've moved on from the MVFC, but they did land, they being the Bison, they landed a total of 5 players on the preseason all-conference team, including an offensive lineman, defensive lineman Keenan Wilson, and Jackson Williams, kick returner and punt returner, clearing up 2 spots on the All-Mountain West preseason squad. Special teams player of the year prognosticated there for Jackson Williams, the junior pick, kick and punt returner there for the Bison. Let's hear from Coach Eck here quickly, courtesy of Chaz Wright on Twitter, talking about the higher expectations in Albuquerque.
Yeah, I think the same point we made last year. You know, we didn't listen to the media last year when they picked us 11th. You know, now if people pick us higher, we don't want to listen to them and feel good about ourselves or pat ourselves on the back. We got to earn it on the field and prepare for what we want. And I like the fact that there's higher expectations because that's based on what we did last year. But this year's going to define itself, and we got to go.
That's head coach Jason Eck here on Overtime. Here's a little bit of a clip on how the league is shaping up right now in terms of opponents and a little bit more familiarity and regionality in the Mountain West.
I think it's fun. I think UTEP will be great because that'll be easy for fans to travel back and forth with it. It's nice to have another game you can drive to because last year we didn't have any. Every road trip was a flight last year, so it's nice to have a team in the league that you can drive to, and I think fans will travel. North Dakota State usually travels well. I'm sure they'll bring some fans down. I think that's exciting. We missed Northern Illinois this year, so we don't get the full experience that way. But, I think it's going to be fun to see how this league shapes up.
Lastly here, I thought it was pretty cool, so much so that I wrote a story about it yesterday as I'm blaring audio in your ears. I wrote a story about it yesterday. Jason Eck was commenting about North Dakota State, and obviously he's got the SDSU ties, so he doesn't feel warm and fuzzy about the warm and fuzzy and fluffy cows up there in Fargo. Jason Eck was open to the idea of starting a new rivalry at New Mexico with North Dakota State. Sean Reeder on Twitter, we retweeted it yesterday. Here's what Eck had to say. Rivalries are fun. They need a rival. They just lost a rival, and they kind of manufactured that rivalry with South Dakota State, and it ended up becoming pretty darn good. So we might need to manufacture a rivalry between New Mexico and North Dakota State. I don't know. There's some oil in New Mexico. There's some oil in North Dakota. Maybe we need a rusty oil can or something that we can play for. Love that. You know, frankly, in the new landscape of college football, that's what we're missing. The backyard brawl of the past, the big-time matchups that we see in the Big 12 and the Big 10 and the SEC and the ACC, some of those have gone away, particularly the Pac-12, used to be the Pac-12. Many of those rivalries are gone. Some are gone forever. Some are gone for now. But frankly, we need to start investing into and pouring into the newness of it. And it doesn't feel right. But your ancestors did it for you. Why will you not do it for your ancestors? Start to get ticked off about weird teams. I don't like the way they look. I don't like the way they talk. I don't like the way they walk down there in Albuquerque. They're my rival. Start to make something new, make it fun, because frankly, we might not see certain rivalries come back. I'm pretty confident at some point the Jackrabbits and Bison will be right back to it. The Yotes and the Bison will be right back to it. I really hope and believe that's the case. I miss the regionality and the hatred of college football is what makes it so darn special. You know, nobody really cares that much about the bad blood between Hawaii and NDSU because there is none. It's going to take time to build some, if any, there. But if we can get something cooking up between Air Force and NDSU or NDSU and UNLV, I'm all for it. And I'm not just talking about the Bison. Relax out there. I'm talking about any team out there. I would love for the Jackrabbits, as currently constructed, if they stay in the MVFC for 3, 4, 5 more years, build it up. Build up and invest into the pot shots and the rivalry with USD. Learn to hate UND even more. Maybe you manufacture something with Illinois State and head coach Brock Spack, with Youngstown, with Southern Illinois. There's a lot to dislike across the border. Go after it. Rivalries are great. That's what makes college football great. Even water cooler talk so great. There's nothing better than working here at Results Radio and being one of a few Packer fans in the building. Other ones are also beautiful people. Thanks for asking. But to be around the water cooler on a Monday and say, look at that Vikings fan. Did you see how they blew it this weekend? I can't believe that's your team. Or vice versa when it comes back to haunt me. Like my team losing to J.J. McCarthy at the end of last season with the third string roster on the field. Regardless, they lost to him. Or the Packers blowing it to the Bears 2 times over, nearly 3 times over last year. That's what makes sports so darn good. So, yes, I'm all about new rivalries and coaches that think outside of the box. Yes, it's new. Yes, it's different. It's not regional. But we're going to play with the teams we have. And I'm going to learn to invest into and try to become and build something beyond just me and the here and the now. I would love to start a rivalry. I love that from Coach Eck in Albuquerque. And by the way, go Lobos. Let's talk NFL now. As an international sports temporary takeover of America is coming to an end in the World Cup, America's predominant sport aims to continue their takeover internationally. Pro Football Talk on the news of Roger Goodell pitching more international football. I have about 10, Roger Goodell said, in terms of new countries in which he'd like the NFL to jump into. One of them is Japan. We did have a game in Tokyo, but it was a preseason game, so we want to do a regular season game now. The NFL wants to increase the number of permissible annual international games to 16. That hinges on the NFLPA agreeing to increase the current limit from the current limit of 10. I think that's fine and dandy. You know, it's extraordinarily rough and tough on bodies to internationally travel, be out on the gridiron, hop back on a plane. That's your recovery time and do it all again a week later. Sometimes the NFL's kind and gives you a bye on either side of the trip to make it a little bit better. But I will tell you, the NFL's asking for that. The NFL is asking for a longer season. International play. The NFLPA has got to come from a point of strength and say, we want lifetime health insurance coverage from the jump. We want a second bye week. We want other things as well. Grass all the way. That's not me. That's the NFL players generally. Their sentiment is, we believe that grass is better for us. We've got some data to back it up. The NFL, big bad NFL, has data the other way. There's no difference. How dare you suggest there's a difference? There's a difference in the eye of the players. They're the people playing the game. They're the people risking life and limb. I trust the players in that regard. And if we can do it for the World Cup, we can do it for the biggest sport in this country that puts butts in seats and dollars in casinos and dollars in TV executives' pockets every single Sunday. They absolutely need to come and negotiate from a point of strength if they are to bend to the whims of expansion internationally, bend to the whims of expansion of the season. Speaking of putting your body on the line, how about another regular season game? Two bye weeks makes all the sense in the world. Maybe they're expanding the playoffs. They need to come from a position of strength and get what they want as well. That fight going to be a couple years down the line. And lastly now, from the football world, couple storylines and some Chicago Bear talk. The Tennessee Titans are not only doing the right thing, but they're late in doing so. I love the article, but I do feel like this is a no-doubter, should have happened a while ago. The Titans announced that they are inducting former running back Chris Johnson, CJ2K, into their Ring of Honor. Ceremony will take place during halftime of the team's season opener this fall, Sunday, September 13th at Nissan Stadium. The honor comes after the 40-year-old Johnson recently revealed last month that he's been battling and diagnosed with ALS. Johnson rushed for over 2,000 yards in 2009, the seventh highest single-season rushing total, had over 2,500 yards from scrimmage that year, and his 503 receiving yards put him at 2,509 yards from scrimmage, an NFL record. Johnson's 2,000-yard season earned him the nickname CJ2K, and he was named NFL Offensive Player of the Year. He will become the 20th member of the Titans' Ring of Honor. And if you look at Chris Johnson's career and his stats in Tennessee, there in Nashville, this is a long-overdue procedure and honor for him. The dude was in Nashville as a member of the Titans for 6 years and finished with 8,000 rushing yards, 79-65. Also scored 50 touchdowns on the ground and put up 2,000 receiving yards with 8 scores. You remember lightning in the bottle, game-changing players? He was one of them. And his career was short, and the fizzle after the Titans' campaign and tenure was not great, was with Arizona, the Jets, and then was out of the league 4 years later. But Chris Johnson's career should be celebrated, and on the heels of an ALS diagnosis should be celebrated even more as he is bravely battling that disease, which we have seen several former NFLers battle, including notably Steve Gleason of the New Orleans Saints. But the impact that he is wanting to have, coming out and being brave and saying, I'm struggling with this. Let's make a difference. Bring back the ice bucket challenge. I admire Chris Johnson, and I frankly love the article that suggests he's getting into the Titan Hall of Fame. Overdue for CJ2K, one of the greatest players to come out of the state of North Carolina collegiately, football-wise, East Carolina alum. ECU has not sent a ton of top-tier talent to the NFL. CJ2K is that for ECU Pirate football. Job well done, Titans. Certainly doing the right thing there. CJ2K will be in the Titans Ring of Honor Hall of Fame coming up at the beginning of the season. And lastly, from the NFL, Courtney Cronin shared some work on the Chicago Bears yesterday. And we'll share it with you, nuts and bolts, right now on the show. The Bears have a lot of pressure this year because they are being anointed by their fans and the media as the next big thing. The next big thing in the North and the NFC. And they're going to be in the Super Bowl before we know it. Whether or not you want to believe that or not is up to you. But Courtney Cronin doing some work here saying, here's a look at 5 Bears players who have the most at stake entering training camp. And she notes a couple interesting players here because some people would say, known commodity, important player this fall. Tyreek Stevenson at cornerback is not necessarily that, but Stevenson once again faces competition for the number 2 cornerback spot in camp. 4th-round rookie Malik Muhammad out of Texas was handpicked by defense coordinator Dennis Allen and will push Stevenson for the role he had to fight for last season with Nashawn Wright. It is worth noting, Wright didn't get paid a massive salary, but the Bears said so long to him after a great season to retain and promote Tyreek Stevenson. With no clear succession plan behind him, they did spend a draft pick on Muhammad, but who knows what they have? You never really know if you're going to get a starter, a backup, a special teamer, etc., out of a draft pick in the middle round. So Tyreek Stevenson under some pressure. Other guys out there, Kyler Gordon, the starting cornerback in Chicago, is under some pressure. The left tackle, who I was told and you were told were part of a bookend tackle project in Chicago, Braxton Jones, is facing down some pressure. Ozzie Trapillo working his way back as well. And then the other names on this list, Deo Odeyingbo at pass rusher. And the one to me that stands out is similarly to corner in Chicago. They said so long to basically every defensive back on their roster last year, except for Gordon and Stevenson, maybe a handful of a few others in Chicago. They promoted Stevenson into a role. And now Rome Odunze becomes the guy, wide receiver one in Chicago. But is he wide receiver one? Is he target number one? Because for me, that is up for debate, not with Luther Burden, but with tight end Colston Loveland. I think Loveland becomes the guy in Chicago. And I'm saying the guy with the most catches, but I'm talking about the focal point of the offense. Because they got all sorts of weaponry there. They got two really good backs. DeAndre Swift getting older, still effective. And then Kyle Manungai, very likable style in the backfield for Chicago. But at tight end, Cole Kmet still steady Eddie, still pretty darn good. They drafted another in Sam Roush, but the guy who is going to make that offense go is Colston Loveland, who had one of the better second halves of a rookie season that we've seen in a long time from a tight end. Now, in addition to that, you got Luther Burden and Rome Odunze on the outside. Burden's kind of more of that screen and run kind of guy. Small ball, get him in space, break a tackle or two, throw a stiff arm up. Burden's a dog of a receiver. Rome Odunze is that polished jump ball, route runner, outside, X-style target in Chicago. I really like Rome Odunze and what he's about and what he's been in Chicago. Last year, he had that nagging foot injury for an eternity. Still going to face some pressure here. That article from Courtney Cronin, ESPN.com, centered up on those Chicago Bears. Now, let's dive into our final break of the show as we say so long to the Friday edition of Overtime. We'll come back talking about the storylines for the second half of the Major League Baseball season. Quick update on where we stand right now in the standings, a look at the odds, and maybe some transactions that have gone down in the last 24 to 48 hours. Major League Baseball talk and the good, the bad, and the ugly coming up next on a Friday edition of Overtime.
It's so convenient. Sports on the go. Download the free app now. This is ESPN 102.3 and AM 1000 KSOO, Sioux Falls sports leader.
Right back with you on this Friday, July 17th edition of Overtime. A reminder, we are off next week. I'm needed elsewhere here at Results Radio. We'll be back with you the following Tuesday, continuing to break down the NFL season ahead and so much more. We got talks on the way with Coach Kalen DeBoer at Alabama, Phil Steele of the Phil Steele College Football Preview Magazine, and so much more coming up that week. Not next week, but the week after that, when we make our triumphant return to the studio here at ESPN Sioux Falls. Major League Baseball news in a hurry. All-star right-hander Chase Burns and the Cincinnati Reds are in agreement on a 7-year, $105 million contract extension. 23-year-old is in his first full season in Cincinnati, 11-1, 2.54 ERA, and 118 strikeouts in over 100 innings of work. That locks up one of the best young pitchers in baseball well into the next decade. 7-year, $105 million contract extension. Bad news for the Philadelphia Phillies. Reliever Brad Keller has a torn UCL and is expected to miss the remainder of the season. Team announcement came yesterday. If Keller undergoes surgery on his right elbow, it would keep him out a significant portion, if not all, of next year. As well, he was placed on the 15-day IL list Thursday and said he'll seek a second opinion from a different doctor before making a final determination. Quick stage setter for the second half. Dodgers are in a club of their own, plus 190 to win this year's World Series. All 30 teams obviously are still in contention right now. Not contention, but still alive. Dodgers plus 190. Yankees plus 550, big step down to the Brewers, Braves, Marlins, Phillies, and Rays. Those are your bargain bin contenders. Then you get the Cubs, Rangers, Guardians, Blue Jays, and Astros. Those are the, well, what if I told you teams, joined by them, the Red Sox and White Sox, Minnesota Twins, roughly the 16th best odds right now. Could be worse, plus 8,000 right now, sandwiched between Detroit ahead of them at plus 6,000 and the Marlins behind them at plus 10,000. Let's round out and wrap up the show, the good, the bad, the ugly, in a hurry on a Friday.
Many days there are those who can be called a problem child. You know the ones. They have a tendency to display an ugly side. They have their whiny moments. Some display an outright bad side of themselves. And then there are those who stand out in a good way. Well, here they are. The good, the bad, and the ugly.
All right, the good, the bad, and the ugly in a hurry. The NHL has released their regular season schedule as of yesterday as the league expands its campaign from 82 to 84 games this year. Opening night moves to the end of September for the first time. The Hurricanes open the season September 29th at 5 o'clock Eastern, raising their Stanley Cup championship banner before taking on the Florida Panthers on ESPN. Speaking of hockey news, Connor McMichael has signed a six-year, $40 million deal with the St. Louis Blues. General manager Alex Steen, who took over the job from Doug Armstrong back in early July, announced the deal on Thursday. McMichael will count $6.75 million against the salary cap through the 2031-2032 season. Other good news, the winners of the World Cup will be awarded championship rings in addition to the traditional trophy and gold medals. Argentina will play Spain on Sunday night in the final at MetLife Stadium in East Rutherford, New Jersey, with a new prize at stake. It's actually Sunday afternoon, 2 o'clock on Fox. FIFA have announced that bespoke championship rings will also be handed to the victorious players, bringing the most recognizable American sporting traditions to the global game. Good news there. And lastly, bad, ugly news. Yeah, it's LeBron James making his first public appearance since he informed the Lakers he would be leaving to join another team in free agency. LeBron did not reveal his decision Thursday at a live taping of his podcast at Fanatics Fest, the annual sports lifestyle festival. It's not that Tyrese Halliburton, the guest co-host for the Mind the Game podcast, and the crowd didn't pry it out of him. Is there a decision that has to be made? Halliburton asked just minutes into the program. James did not bite. We literally talked about this in the back, James said, reiterating that revealing his next team would not be on the agenda. Later on, overall decision-making conversation, James said, I won't hold you guys up too much longer. Speaking for everybody, good. Don't make a decision. That would be nice from LeBron James in the next week or two. That's the good, the bad, the ugly. That is our show on a Friday. I hope everybody has a great weekend. We're off next week, unfortunately. Other duties come calling here at Results Town Square Media, but we're back with you coming up the following Tuesday. Already excited to crack open the mic again right here on your Sioux Falls Sports Leader Friday edition in the bag. Have a great weekend. We'll talk to you in just over a week right here on ESPN Sioux Falls.